Almighty God, we gather here on this Easter Sunday. Some of us are grateful and believing. Some of us have questions. Some of us wonder about what all the fuss is about. We pray that as a body of people, an extended family of faith, you would somehow work in helping us to hear again this story in ways that would move us to bring forward our questions, to think more about what we do believe and don't believe. We're grateful this day for the faith of the church. We thank you for those among us who do believe. And we pray that what we do here would be authentic and real. We ask your blessing on this time, that we might be present, however it is we are here in this place, that we might be present with our spirit, with our minds, with our hearts as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the story that we read is from John chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 1 through verse 18. You're welcome to follow along on the screen above my head. I read from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Well, then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb, and the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you're like me at all, you may have spent a number of years wondering and searching for what is real. I was never one of those who made up exotic quests, experiences. I was never into drugs, never hitchhiked across the country in search of the truth I was looking for. People do all kinds of crazy things, particularly if you came along when I did. In the 70s, we did wild stuff. I have come to realize, I suppose, in my own way, that there are all kinds of life experiences in which people may discover God and God's grace through someone who is a faithful witness for the things that we're talking about here today. I have simply come to discover that what is real is the God who raises Jesus from the dead. And as an act of worship this morning, I would like to share very briefly with you why I believe that is true. And frankly, it begins with a story. There was a time in my life that I did not believe this. I sat in a congregation not unlike this, and I was taken to church. You will go to church on Easter Sunday. Yes, okay. You're in my house. You will do this. Yes, I will do this. I was full of sarcasm and cynicism. I wanted to question what I could not touch and feel. But during college, I met a rather intelligent young man who challenged me personally about my faith in God. No one had ever done that. I grew up in the home of church-going people. I have ministers in my family. People just assumed, well, he must, at least he hangs around the church. He must believe this stuff. I didn't. My friend asked me, would you say you are a convinced Christian or are you on the way? And I told him, I'm not convinced about much of anything, but I'd like to hear what you mean by being on the way. And so he shared with me from God's Word his understanding of what it meant to be a person of faith, a follower of Jesus Christ. And we began to talk about the questions I had. Questions about church and faith and what I had learned from my parents. And very slowly, over a period of time, he began to answer my questions rationally. And I became rather impressed with what he had to say. Frankly, his answers made sense to me in a way that I had never heard anyone ask. I asked, was it necessary to believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to be a Christian? I asked him, what can you say about the Bible? The church makes a big deal about that. What is the Word of God? How is that any different than Shakespeare or Immanuel Kant or some other great thinker in the world? The Word of God. What is the Word of God? We talked for several weeks, and I came to a place after a period of time where all the questions I honestly had in my heart, I said, okay, you've answered what I have questioned, but I'm no Christian. I'm no different. I hear that what you're saying makes rational sense. What should I do now? And he said, well, I suggest that you remain honest. Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe. I believe there's something up there. There's a God somewhere. Do you believe God's personal? Well, I sure hope so. Well, why don't you admit to this God you believe that this God would reveal to you who this Jesus is? And do you have a New Testament? I had a New Testament that my wife, who's here today, had given me. And so he said, I suggest you start reading a chapter in that New Testament today and write down your questions and underline the things you wonder about. And so I did what he suggested, and I went to God and I said, God, I don't know who this Jesus is. Help me to understand what all the fuss is about. Help me to understand what all this is. Help me to understand what my parents believe. And I began reading. And nothing happened. One morning in November of 1970, I woke up and I believed that Jesus was who the New Testament claimed him to be. That he was the Christ, the Messiah of God. The day before, I didn't believe it. And it seemed that faith was just given to me. And as I stand before you today, I believe that the faith you have, those of you that are people of faith, faith is a gift. Whether you gained it from your grandmother or from your high school baseball coach or friends in college, faith is a gift. And so believing in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ of God, sent me to my friend to say, now what must I do? And he said, then accept him as your Lord and Savior. And he and I sat on the side of his bed, and he prayed and I prayed, and suddenly the story that I just read to you opened up to me, and I believed. I believed the claims of the New Testament. But I didn't stop there. Ever since that day, I have come to believe in prayer, that God's steadfast love endures forever. And I could not stand before you in a place of leading people in worship if I didn't believe that this God, who has been revealed in Jesus Christ and made manifest by the Spirit of Christ, is indeed what the Scripture says. So in the first place, I believe because of my faith experience and what happened to me years ago. In the second place, I believe because God is at work in my life and in the lives of many in this church, answering prayer. But I also began to believe because of the story we just read. My friend, my intelligent friend who helped me to address these things, told me of C.S. Lewis. Originally the agnostic British professor who came to faith in Christ by studying the Gospels. Years ago, C.S. Lewis wrote a lot of essays, and he put them on the BBC broadcast in the 1930s. And those have been encapsulated in a little book known as Mere Christianity. Perhaps you've heard of that. But C.S. Lewis was a British thinker, a British professor, and he had his own kind of logic. And his logic was one I'd never heard growing up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. But he simply argued that all the authorities had to do was present the body of Jesus. Just present the body of Jesus. If the Romans or the Jews could have presented the body of Jesus, there would be no resurrection story. Some might say, and I did, maybe they just did a really good job at hiding his body. Maybe they stuffed it into some sort of container somewhere. But the reality is, working people and a variety of disciples don't go into all the world and give their lives, sacrifice their lives for a story that is untrue. People don't go on into all the world saying the good news is I saw Jesus die on a cross and on the third day he rose from the dead. No one goes to India and Great Britain and Gaul and the known world at the time sharing such good news unless somehow they've experienced that. And so I've come to believe in the second place that the sermons and the Acts of the Apostles and the message of the New Testament, in Paul's words, are Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. That is the good news of God's love. Examine the good news of the New Testament in this book. And that's yet another reason why I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But I also believe Jesus was raised from the dead because of the faith of the church. Not only the creeds and the apostles' creeds that the apostles' creed that we will say this morning, but I speak of the faith of Bruce Metzger. He was the chair of the NRSV committee. He was a professor of New Testament languages at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey for many, many years. Person of faith. Cullen Story, originally from Arkansas, was a professor of languages, a very dear man who taught me Hebrew and Greek. James I. McCord, the president of the seminary, a person of profound faith. Elizabeth McKinley, who was an instructor in the exegesis of Romans. But also Georgia Monrovia Gowdy, surrogate grandparents while I was a college student. As I began thinking about a list of names of people who are part of the church, I began to think of all the people I have ever known in the church that I used to make fun of as I was an 18-year-old. And I used to say, they're all standing up there just saying the Apostles' Creed. They don't all believe that. I've become a minister in the Presbyterian Church, and I'm here to tell you that the people that stand in churches and share the Apostles' Creed, 95% of them believe precisely what they say, or they would not be there. Those people are the reason why I believe in the resurrection. In looking back, I've come to understand that my own parents' belief had an effect on me. Though they never questioned faith, their lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ and the understanding that they were saved by grace through faith, that's why I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the faith of Jesus being raised from the dead. It was in my wife, Georgia, who is here with me today. She's another reason why I believe in the resurrection. As well, my own thoughts about mortality and life, I've come to appreciate in my few years on this earth the diversity and the variety of human beings in this world, the complexity of every individual and the brain and the body and the spirit of all of you in this room. And it has seemed wrong to me that all of us simply return to the ground when we die. I believe, and always did, that it seemed that there had to be more to life than we were experiencing. That whoever created us, surely these amazing computers that we call our brains, this amazing experience of eternity and life, we don't just fade away and become tulips again. There is something more to this. I suppose that rather humanist conviction has moved me to believe in the resurrection. Now this morning I share these things with you. I don't know where you are on this journey of faith in Christ. I do know the church since the beginning has affirmed the story that we have read this day. In fact, this story has animated the church to build hospitals and schools and go into all the world to people who are hurting and those who are not, to share the good news of the gospel with the world. And this church is alive today because Jesus was arrested. He was crucified cruelly on a Roman cross, and God raised him from the dead. That is why Meadow Lake Presbyterian Church is a reality this day. And so if God raised him from the dead, according to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:15, you and I are not dead in our sins, and we are not wrong to believe in the God who has done all these things. If God raised Jesus from the dead, you have hope that God will answer your prayers. If God raised Jesus from the dead, you have hope that God can heal you from your illness and your disease and the secret dilemma that gnaws at you every day. If God raised Jesus from the dead, this is part of the greatest story ever told. If God raised Jesus from the dead, then the church has good news to share with a cynical, angry, power-hungry, beaten-down kind of world. If God raised Jesus from the dead, there is every reason for you and me to be filled with hope and joy and peace in the spirit of this one who has brought Jesus to life. And if God raised Jesus from the dead, and you doubt this to be true, and I have, and I did, you have reason to go home and reconsider the possibilities. And so this day, may it be so for all of us that on this Easter Sunday, we praise the eternal, almighty, sovereign God for Jesus of Nazareth, crucified, died, risen, alive, and here with us this morning. It is the belief of the church that this crucified and risen Savior is with us here today. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and thanks for the hope of the church, for the faith of the church, for the compassion and care and good news of the church. We pray that somehow you would allow all of us here to be caught up not in a world that is sour and cynical and sarcastic and violent and angry. Enable us to find our good news in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. We pray this day in His name. Amen.